The issue of retail theft has been a growing concern for many, many months now. Videos of dramatic smash and grab robberies or mobs overrunning stores are a near nightly feature on the news. Retailers are hurting and shoppers are afraid. Public officials and law enforcement officers are hearing those concerns and have put retail crime on the top of the priority list. But what's being done? Is it effective? And where is the system failing? We look at the quest for solutions. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. The issue of retail theft is not a new one. We've been seeing videos and hearing news stories about the prevalence of retail theft, mob burglaries, and shoplifting for years now. Numerous tactics have been employed to help, but are they really making a dent? Just recently, I spoke to a store owner who seemed to do everything right, but he still became a victim. Take a look.
It's very heartbreaking because I put a lot of hard work into this.
So it's no wonder these images shocked the 23-year-old owner of this Bellflower clothing shop. A car busting through the front of his store around 4:45 in the morning, followed by some 15 burglars pouring into the place to grab everything they could.
A lot of damage here.
Yeah.
The owner just wants to be called DJ for safety reasons.
What a mangled mess.
Yeah, it's insane.
Also concerned about safety, his girlfriend asked we not show her face.
There were attempts in December to try to break into this store, right?
Yes.
This video is from one of those pre-Christmas attempts. Both she and DJ think it may have been the same bad guys that broke in this time. But after the December incidents, they reinforced the front of the store.
So we have the security door, an actual security gate with three locks, an additional deadbolt on our main door with a buzzer door, a security wall behind it with a barricade.
But they still broke in. You can feel the frustration, right? I mean, that's an amazing story. And Democratic Caucus Chair and Assemblyman Richard Chavez Burr is joining us right now. He chairs the newly formed Select Committee on Retail Theft. And now that committee has had its first meeting. That was last month. And, you know, first of all, thanks for joining us. And we know how big a problem this is. Lord knows I'm out there almost every other day doing a story like this. And I'm just wondering, what did you address in that first meeting? And what do you think when you see a kid like that at 23 years old? He's got a shop. He's a shop owner. He's done all these extra things to try to secure himself. And still, a car rams in. 15 or so people come marching in and grab everything he's got.
Well, it's clearly a problem we have to fix. And so Speaker Rivas, you know, appointed me as chair of this new committee with representatives from many of the districts across the state that are hardest hit by retail theft. And one of the things we're working on is a package of bills that are aimed at looking at the best evidence that we have, including representatives from all the key stakeholders, our retailers, both large and small businesses, our law enforcement partners, criminal justice reform advocates, and members of the public to really understand how to fix this issue. And that's what we're working on. Every day, we've had one hearing in Sacramento where we brought in folks from all of those, and also representatives from the workers, from all of those interest groups. And we're going to be having follow-on hearings, one in Los Angeles coming up in February, and probably another one in the Bay Area. And then we'll be putting together a package of bills to try to fix this problem.
And who knows how many crimes will have occurred in the period that you're going from one meeting to a few months later to another meeting.
Well, obviously, we want to get this right. We want to learn from the lessons of the past and make sure that we're actually targeting the folks that need to be targeted. You know, we know, for example, that we have to do more about, addressing the distribution channels. You know, if we can close the demand for these fenced goods, that will give will reduce the ability of people to have value for what they're doing. We need to focus on these organized retail rings. The governor just released a proposal that we're looking at very carefully that will target these rings of folks. We, I've talked to almost every retailer, major retailer in California now, and they tell me pretty much the same thing. It's a relatively small number of people that are responsible for a large number of crimes.
And as we look at that video that's on right now, as we take a look at that video and we see all these, first of all, this would be organized crime, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it is organized crime. I mean, we know it's organized crime. We know the, you know, retailers actually have videos of people that come into their stores, and they can identify specific individuals that are coming in over and over and over again.
And so what do you do? What do you do to stop that?
I think you look at our laws, whether there are impediments in our laws that allow you to actually go after this these repeated offenses. When you look at it, you know, these are some of the offenses are, you know, minor misdemeanors. But if you're basically doing this over and over and over again, the law should recognize that this is a professionalized, organized ring, and give our DAs and folks that are enforcing at the local level tools to go after these folks.
Proposition 47, where does that come in?
So we're looking at Prop 47. It's not off the ballot. I mean, it's not off the menu of things that we're looking at. You know, Prop 47, a lot of folks go to look at the issue of whether the $950 felony limit needs to be revised. One of the things that's interesting about that is that California's felony limit is really sort of at the bottom range of the states. You know, Texas's is, for example, is $2,500. And so a lot of the times, I think the real issue is making sure that we're able to sort of aggregate all these smaller crimes, because the felony limit, you know, we have laws in place that allow for both penalties and jail times for misdemeanor theft. It's just that we have very little enforcement of that occurring.
And not only that, but Prop 47, that was a ballot measure that was passed, what, 10 years ago in 2014. And yet, you know, where are we here? I mean, are we making some progress, or are we just kind of going from meeting to meeting to try to come with a package that gives us some progress? Because this was designed to sort of help do something.
Yeah, no, this package is we're going to be putting this together. Our bill deadlines are coming up in February and March. You know, we have a process at the state level. It's not like a city council where something happens in a week or two. You know, we have to get through two houses of the legislature. We've got to write bills. It's got to go through committee. It's got to go through two houses of the legislature, and then it goes to the governor in September. But our goal is really to sort of have a package of bills that's effective at dealing with this issue, and have them on the governor's desk, you know, by the end of this legislative session.
It's interesting because we live in a we want it now society, right? But can't always have it now when we want it. When's the next meeting? Where's it going to be at? What do you want people to know about it?
The next meeting will be in February. I think we'll have the specific date within the next couple days, and it will be in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles area. Welcome people to come and join the meeting. There's an opportunity for public comment. We are going to be having, again, some of our law enforcement partners at the local level so that we'll actually be able to have be engaged with them down here in California. We're actually bringing other retailers in again. And so that will be the next meeting, and we'll probably have one more after that up in Northern California.
All right, very good. Rick Chavez-Burr, Assemblyman, thank you so much for joining us. All the best on this. You can see it's a pretty heated issue, and we've certainly seen this frequently here in Southern California. Thanks so much. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we talk to local law enforcement officers about the retail theft phenomenon and about mobs that take over malls. We'll talk about what's being done right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and we're talking about the recent surge in retail crime, and we want to get to the law enforcement perspective. So let's bring in Sergeant Ron Salary, who's the public information officer for the Torrance Police Department, and Lieutenant Mike McComas, who is with the LAPD Commercial Crimes Division. And I know you guys have been meeting behind the scenes because I accidentally walked in one of your meetings one day when I was downtown. and I guess, you know, we'd like to get an idea of what you think the extent of the problem is and what you think is going to need to be done here. And let's start with you.
Well, I think the problem is actually getting better in my perspective. Our task force was created on August 21st of 2023. We have detectives from Burbank, Glendale, Beverly Hills, Torrance, and Santa Monica Police Departments with us. We also work with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department and the CHP's Organized Retail Crime Task Force. And basically, we focus on identifying, locating, and arresting people who commit these crimes.
So how many arrests are you making?
So far, we have made 141 arrests.
And that's for crimes committed during?
Since August 21st.
Of this year, this past year.
Yes, sir.
Right. Ron, let me ask you. We hear others, kind of like in the last segment, talking about they've got to do more. They got to do more. You got the assembly that's got, a committee to try to figure out how to do more, and yet I'm hearing you guys say, we're making some progress. Ron, what do you think?
We are making progress, working together with our community members and our business owners. We have improved and made it a safe environment to shop here in Torrance. We do that by increasing our patrol. We have more officers at our shopping locations. And in addition to that, we have just put forward our real-time response crime center. And again, we're working with the crime task force too to make sure that these individuals who are doing this repeatedly, even though they may strike once, we have the task force that works to follow up so that we can definitely mitigate it for happening in the future.
Sergeant, you've had some pretty big-time crimes down there, like at the Del Amo Mall, seems to become a center for rowdy behavior. How are you dealing with that?
Yes, I want to point out that at the Del Amo Fashion Center, we have had recent incidents with young people, specifically young people, youth. We're talking 12 years old and younger showing up at the mall in mass numbers. What has not been happening is we haven't had the smash and grabs going on when that occurs. We have had more of a social disorganized event where they are fighting amongst themselves. With the cooperation, our response to that, and we are able to eventually get that under control, but it doesn't fall in the same category as the smash and grab. There's some minor misdemeanors that occurred. You see some of the juveniles are injuring themselves. Officers have been injured, but our business owners have been largely protected from any large vandalism.
Sergeant, what are you doing to deal with that, though? I mean, what are some of the remedies you're trying to put in place?
Well, one of the things we do is that after our response, we need to follow up and collaborate with why this is happening. Like, what is the source of this happening? We've noticed that sometimes we can tell that on social media, young people will communicate with themselves, and they will meet specifically on days where it might be an extended holiday at the mall, might be a focal point of it. So a lot of the juveniles that are coming to the city of Torrance to shop in our community, which is safe to do, we have one of the largest malls in the United States, at least the top 10. We have a lot of people that shop here at the Del Amo Fashion Center, but they're coming from communities outside of Torrance when it occurs, so we need to collaborate with those communities outside of Torrance to try to see how we're going to mitigate this issue.
All right, Lieutenant, let me ask you. I mean, if social media is at the core of a lot of this, what do you do?
We follow social media. We go where they are. So if they're on social media and they're planning something, we're going to find out about it.
So you'll be there too?
Yes, sir.
And have you often shown up when they've shown up?
Well, I think our success is when we show up and nothing happens. So when we run operations called blitz operations, as an example. We go out to retailers, we work with their loss prevention people,
right. And
basically we wait and see.
And LAPD has recovered quite a bit of stolen goods, so there's been some successes.
Yes, sir. We've recovered over $460,000 worth of merchandise.
That's a lot.
Yes, sir.
That's a lot, but does that sort of fall under tip of the iceberg?
You could say that.
Yeah.
I know our CHP and sheriff partners have also recovered large amounts of property as well.
You know, it seems like, Lieutenant, social media is kind of a slippery slope. And you know, it's there, but it also presents problems. And I guess I want to ask the sergeant, you know, what's your take on social media? What's your take on how to find a better place in social media to get over these bumps?
Social media is definitely a strong element in some of the incidents that we've had. I think that one of our things that we really need to do is engage in our community partners, that are our community leaders. that have a connection to these young people that are responding to social media. We definitely need to collaborate and cooperate as we go forward to reduce the incidents that are occurring that result in violations of law.
Do you ever talk to, Lieutenant, the social media companies and say, hey, this is a problem. What can we do together?
Well, I myself don't do that, but my detectives do.
Uh-huh.
My detectives work with the various social media companies to figure out how we can solve this problem.
Okay, and we've got about a minute. This task force, where does it go? What does it do? What can you tell us about it? We've got about a minute.
So basically, we are a regional task force, so we go anywhere in the Los Angeles region. If there's a major incident, we respond immediately, and we begin investigating to identify who's responsible. And we've conducted over 121 search warrants to date, which have resulted in 141 arrests. So my detectives...
Does work get harder?
It gets hard. It's hard work, but I have great detectives and great officers that work for us, and I believe we are making progress.
All right. Thank you for being with us, Sergeant Ron Sallery and Lieutenant Mike McComas. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we'll get a look at the retail side of things with Rick Caruso, the owner of a number of local malls. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Our next guest is very conversant with retail sales and the effect these crimes are having. Rick Caruso owns a number of local shopping centers, from the Grove, the Americana brand, to the Westlake Village Promenade and the Commons at Calabasas. So let's bring in retail entrepreneur Rick Caruso. And good to see you. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And
good seeing you.
Thank you so much. And let's start off by asking, I mean, are things getting worse in retail? Or are we trying to get a grip on this stuff?
Well, I mean, the stats that LAPD has issued is it's getting worse. And so the property crimes are going up again this year. And so we're not getting a grip on it. More needs to be done.
So when you say more needs to be done, let's talk about what is more.
Right. Well, I think you have to start, Hal, with enforcement. And we've got some laws that don't really allow law enforcement to hold the bad people accountable. And we have to start holding bad people accountable. And we need to make a bigger effort in that. There's been some good things that have happened, like the task force, but it's not enough. And the thing that worries me the most is the chilling effect. There's a dampening that happens with this on local businesses, and especially small businesses. You know, one like mine, we can afford to have extra security and all these protocols that we have. It's still wrong that it happens. But a small business, they don't have the resources, and it can wipe them out and put them out of business.
Well, what do you do at these malls? I mean, you have these tremendous, very popular malls that get a lot of traffic.
Right. We have a lot of security. We have a lot of cameras. We have a lot of systems that we don't talk about.
Won't talk about here.
Well, listen, we're in the business of keeping people safe and happy and enjoying their day.
Right.
And so we make the investment, and it's tens of millions of dollars to do it. Because, quite frankly, we can't rely on local law enforcement in order to keep us safe. So we have to take it over ourselves, and we're doing that in a very good way. But the local businesses, the small businesses, especially on the streets, can't afford to do that. And they also don't have the resources to withstand these thefts, because it might be their profit for the month. It might be their profit for the year. It's wrong.
When you see these images that we see on the news all the time of big crews marching into these stores,
right,
and using cars to drive into the front of them, and that's crazy looking stuff, but
it's insane.
Yeah, what goes through your mind?
Well, it's insanity that we've got elected officials, we've got leaders that sort of continue to talk around it and tolerate it, especially when you're dealing with most of these big smash and grabs. These are professional criminals, serial criminals. We have a no bail system. If you're going to have a no-bail system, you're going to continue to have this problem, because you have to hold people accountable, especially when you are a professional criminal. And so they just go through this cycle, and they need to go be incarcerated. We need to give everybody an opportunity to get rehabilitated, but you need to get arrested, charged, incarcerated, and then come back out and get rehabilitated and hopefully lead a better life.
So your sense is we're not tough enough.
We're not smart enough. I don't think it's a matter of being tough. I think it's a matter of being fair, just, and also smart in how we go about this. We didn't have this problem years ago. Laws have changed. Elected officials have changed. There's a lot more tolerance, and we need to go back to what's fair and right for the broader community.
And the way these people do this, they're hard to find. Once they're gone, they're hard to catch.
They're tough to find, but they've been caught. I mean, I've been the victim of these, and we catch them, but they get released. And so what's the message you're sending? You're actually rewarding somebody for bad behavior, and you're not enforcing and supporting the good business people like we talked about before we went on air. A young person starting a business in the city, getting robbed, and then effectively being put out of business. That's just not right.
Well, we see more and more, and I see it more at the grocery stores than the drug stores than I do at retail stores, but we see merchants locking up their goods.
Right. So the cost to do business now, because of this, is so high. You see retailers moving out of the county, out of the city. We've seen it in San Francisco, Nordstrom closing, Whole Foods closing. You lose jobs, you lose revenue. That's not good. What trajectory is that, and where does it lead us as a community? It leads us to a bad place, and we need to change that, and it can be changed.
We have less than a minute. What's your bottom line? What do you want to say here?
Bottom line is we need to take a very smart approach on the laws that need to be revised to be fair, create more livable communities, reduce crime, give people second chances for sure, but hold bad people accountable, and get elected officials in there that have the courage and determination to do the right thing for the broader community.
Rick Russo, thank you very much. Fox 11 News In Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away.
Whenever you want.
But
me,
I'd love to have you. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.